Welcome back to Green Lines. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. I have a couple that you may know or you may not know, but they're new to the Green Lines ministry. Not to my ministry, but to the Green Lines podcast. They are experienced ministers. We're going to hear about their ministry and what they do. I'm going to tell you first about Sharon, and then because she's first on my list, that's why I'm going to talk about her. She's the president of Global Outpouring. And they're so committed through the power of the Holy Spirit as Spirit-filled believers in Jesus with a vision for the nations, and are dedicated to prayer and fasting for building the kingdom of God. That's what I want to hear. These are kingdom of God builders. They're not trying to build their own kingdom. They're in this to build the kingdom of God. Sharon's got a passion for the presence of God. I love that. And I know God wants to hear it. Just want to be with you. I want you to want me near you. That's what God believes, I think. That's what I read in the Bible. He just wants us to want to press in and not feel the burden of, oh, it's that day. I got to go to church. I got to press in. He wants people that run in with expectation for that encounter. So when I get to talk with someone who has a passion for that, I get pretty excited. These two have traveled extensively throughout the world, ministering God's word and leading the people who worship. So I'm excited about that, and I want to talk to you about Philip, her husband, as well. He's born and raised in Chicago, the good Midwestern work ethic. I could hear it when I had a little pre-interview with him, that these two know what it means to work hard. And he's after my heart in another way, because he was born into a very musical family. He attended the Chicago Conservatory of Music. Now, get this, he played clarinet and classical guitar. So I know in the winter he played guitar, and in the summer he could play that clarinet, because I don't know about lips being frozen and playing a clarinet, yeah. But the winds in Chicago make clarinet playing a little difficult, at least in that outdoor auditoriums. He's renewed his commitment to the Lord in 1981, received the Lord's call into ministry. He's become a part of the Engelital staff that same year. So he's the songwriter and anointed musician, as well as a manager of the printing for Engelthal Press. He's also responsible for the ministry's vehicles. In other words, he does a whole lot of stuff for the ministry and is sort of the go-to, get it done. If no one else wants to do it, Phil's going to be assigned to get that done. And I don't mean to diminish that at all. I mean, we need people who get things done in this kind of ministry. They both are heavily travelers. They love the Lord. They just want to minister. They want to see people come to Jesus. They want to see them filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They want to help you today. As you come into this podcast and you have needs, my guests today are need meters. I've only known them a short while, but I love them. I've read her own book, and we'll talk about her book. I read every word of it because I was fascinated by it, just their story. You know me, I just love good stories, and her whole book is her story. So I just felt like I was catching up with someone that I have a lot in common with, because they love the Lord, kingdom brothers and sisters, and I want to welcome you guys, mostly to know how much I care about you and want to help you, and hope that you enjoy your time here on the show and with Charisma. So Phil and Sharon Buss, welcome to the Green Lines podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So who's going first? Talk to me. What are you up to?
What are we up to?
Yeah, what's going on today in your ministry? What kind of things are you working on?
We are working on, I'm working on getting a reprint of one of Sister Gwen Shaw's most important books that she ever wrote, called Redeeming the Land. And we're kind of bringing it up into the 21st century. I wrote a new foreword for it, and we've put a new cover on it. And the content is basically the same, but it's such a powerful book and a timely book for what we're dealing with these days.
Mm-hmm. And how are you all dealing with it? You're in Arkansas, correct?
Yes. We're in Arkansas. What Redeeming the Land is really all about is breaking the curses that come on the land because of sin. You know, there's five big ones that cause a curse to come on the land: sexual immorality and idolatry, witchcraft, shedding of innocent blood, and breaking of covenants. And all of those create curses on the land. And then we have, you know, the biblical example is like from Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 28, but I'm not sure. No, I'm not sure what chapter. From Deuteronomy, There's a place where it talks about what to do when you have an unsolved murder, and you go out and you, the elders of the towns nearby, they don't know who done it, you know?
Right.
And so they take a heifer out into the wilderness and in between the towns, you know, and the elders of that town say, "Lord, we don't know who did this." And they take a priest with them. "And we don't know who did this, but we ask you to see the blood of this heifer on our behalf so that there's no curse that comes from the shedding of innocent blood." And that's how that God provided to deal with that. Well, of course, we're in the New Testament, and so we have the power of the blood of Jesus. You know, he gave us in the Holy Communion, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood."
Yes.
And so we go to places where there's been sin and shedding of innocent blood. And, you know, I could talk for a long time on that subject, but I don't think that's what we intended to do. Anyway, you can use the Holy Communion in that same way as taking responsibility. We don't know how this got here. We just know that we need to step in and say, "Lord, please forgive this sin." And
yes.
Then that breaks the curse, and it causes a change in the spiritual atmosphere of the place. People are more likely to come to the Lord for that.
Yes, yes, yes. And in these days, right now, with the pandemic, I'm assuming you're still fighting it pretty hard in Arkansas.
It's around.
Yeah, it is. It's everywhere. And actually, it's a lot worse today than it was when we were all shutting down states and staying home for 3-4 weeks at a time. It's
right.
Much worse now, but you know, we all are so ready to be done with it. We're taking more risk and getting out and doing things that maybe we should be more cautious. I don't know.
I think there are other ways of taking precautions that are,
yes,
are helpful.
And we don't have to shut down life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your ministry. I guess I want to hear about your travels. You both are very active and world travel, and I think some you travel together and some you go alone, right, Sharon?
I went alone with Sister Gwen at
That's
times,
right.
But, you know, these days we've only been traveling alone, mostly. I think I went to Congo by myself a couple of years ago. But
you're brave. That's a tough one. So tell us about your international travel. What kinds of places are drawing you in? What do you do when you get there? Tell us about End Time Handmaidens. And now you're called Global, but it's the same ministry, right? Global Outpouring.
Right. It's the same ministry. God just gave us a new name to freshen up the vision, freshen up the understanding. So many people are so biblically illiterate that they don't even have a clue what an end time handmaiden might be, or that it's a biblical concept, you know, from the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 28 and 29, which Peter repeated on the day of Pentecost. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and upon my servants and upon my handmaidens I will pour out of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And so it's a worldwide vision, because he's going to do it on all flesh.
Yes.
And, you know, we've, under Sister Gwen, our founder, we were looking at this ministry as a missionary ministry. We're going to the nations. She went to 115 nations in her ministry. And, you know, she was best friends with Ruth Heflin from the time Sister Ruth went to Hong Kong as an 18-year-old. You know, that was back in, I think, late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
And they were very, very good friends and remained friends all those years. And so this idea of the nations, we got to take the gospel to the nations. We got to go to the nations. And that was Sister Gwen's vision, and she imparted it to us. She imparted it to all the people that became members of this ministry. And we that's really what we've been all about. Although she was such a prolific writer. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote I think she wrote around 60 books. I think there's at least 50 some in print still today.
Amazing.
Powerful, anointed books. And she wouldn't just stay on one subject. You know, there are some ministers that they get a subject from God and that's what they preach. You know, like the healing ministries. They just preach about healing. Every different angle, it's the same subject.
That's their message.
It's their message. But she was like a diamond with many facets.
That's great.
And she wrote Bible studies on intercessory prayer, one on fasting, one on the blood of Jesus, one on praise, one on how many are they? There's a dozen of them, and they're all different subjects.
She was a lot like Apostle Paul when she went to China in 1947 it was, when many of the missionaries were leaving, but mm-hmm. God told her to go, and she went, took the boat to China and her husband, and had no return ticket, no church behind her, no promise of support of any kind. Just went by faith, and God spoke to him to go. And went until they were chased out by Mao Zedong's armies coming down. But it was just like her drive was the passion for souls, for revival. She was a revivalist. And you just see the fire of God go wherever she went and just walking in the office. I remember in a meeting she was at once, because we were the road crew. You know, we did everything a road crew does.
Yeah.
And a lady came up for prayer and says, God told me to go to Spain and I don't want to go to Spain. And Sister Gwen just happened to have on her feet the shoes she wore in Spain. She had just got back from Spain and still had the dust of Spain on them. And she took her shoes off and told the lady, step into my shoes. Mm. She put one foot in her shoe and the Holy Spirit just came down and just hit her, and she just started screaming and screaming.
I'll go.
And she went to Spain.
Yeah, and God used her.
Amazing. What a story. I love stories.
I do, too.
So where are you going next, and what do you want to do when you get there?
Well, you know, travel has been curtailed.
Yes, I know.
And so,
it's coming up someday.
Our number one thing is going to Israel.
Good.
We love Israel. Sister Gwen put that love in our hearts for the nation that God says belongs to him. It's his chosen nation. It's his foundational nation. It's his foundational land. And when you go there, the Bible just comes alive because it's not just stories anymore. You add the video to it. You can see it. So this is the lake that Jesus walked on. They call it a sea, but it's a lake. And we go there, we take people there to introduce them. It increases their depth in the Word of God. And when you go with a group that is also just really flowing in the Holy Spirit, we have on our team Dr. Mark Bristow, who is one of those healing evangelists, but he's not that kind either that is only on that. Man, is he deep. He's got depths and depths and depths of God in him. We also have Claren and Nancy McQueen with us usually. So we have a time of a 3-day worship seminar and just helping people get a handle on what God is doing in the land.
Yeah,
connecting.
We have a lot of locals that we know that we've known for many years. And so we do a lot of interacting. So we're not just like a tour that goes, sees the land and goes home. Really meet the people and you see why Israel is Israel.
So we're scheduled to go there in November.
That's
God
great.
Willing. We trust that it's going to open up so that we can do that.
I would think so. I hope by midsummer we're all traveling again and things are opened up. So let's talk about your podcast. You've got a show now joining the Charisma Podcast Network. You've been on for, 40 shows?
Yes.
And Global Outpouring is, you know, already growing and downloads and listeners. And so if you could tell us, what are you trying to do with your podcast? What are your goals? What do you hope God is going to do through this new ministry?
Well, I like to think of our podcast as an extension of our vision itself. Okay. When God gave us the new name Global Outpouring, he gave us this sort of like a three-legged stool of foundation that we're contending for the outpouring. So that's all about intercessory prayer. It's all about pressing in for the heart of God for his outpouring. What does he want to do? What's in his heart? Press in to know him and then equip for the global outpouring. We are all about, and that's really what most of our podcasts have been, is equipping people, trying to help you grow in your walk with God so that you are mature in the things of God, that you're digging in the Word of God and you're experiencing the Holy Spirit. You have to have both. Our pastor used to say, if you have only the Word, you're going to dry up. If you have only the Spirit, you're going to blow up. But if you have both the Word and the Spirit, you're going to grow up.
That's good.
So that's really our heart, that we equip people to walk in a balanced way, to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth by the flowing of the Holy Spirit and getting into the anointing, getting into some deeper waters. You know, you can pity pat around the outside and just wade in it, you know, or you can go a little deeper, you know, go knee deep. I think of my dad, you know, when he would take us kids swimming. He didn't like to get in the water very much, and he would just be up to his ankles for a while, and he might get up to his knees. And if he's really, really, really hot, or we persuaded him one way or another, he might really get in. But he rarely went past his knees, because that's just how much of the water he wanted. But we want to encourage people to go deep. Because there's so much more. There's so much more of God. For eternity, we are going to continue to have revelation about our Father, revelation about what Jesus did for us, revelation about what there is to be done and how to engage in what God is doing. And so that's the third leg, is engaging in the global outpouring, so that we contend for it, we equip for it, and we engage in it. So we have some guests sometimes that are revivalists, or that have been doing this stuff for years, and they've been seeing this moving of the Spirit in their ministries. And so that's really what our podcast is all about.
Well, again, the name of the show is Global Outpouring. A couple more questions about your podcast. What your style now is, you're really interviewing guests. You're bringing more people into your show.
That's not all. We do some interviews, and we do some that are just digging in the Word. And sometimes we do things that are just sharing our experiences. You know, we told our love story back close to our anniversary last July.
And good for you.
Yeah. We have some that we just talk about stuff.
Mm-hmm. And if people can, you can connect with them because of what maybe they're going through something.
Yeah.
What you've already gone through.
Right.
Yeah. And I think Sharon calls it like a synergy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the first time she heard Sister Gwen speak, just like she has something that I want.
Yeah, I resonated with it.
Resonated.
I hadn't heard that term resonate until more recent years. I used to call it sympathetic vibrations, like you have with piano strings. You know, sometimes you get a noise from another instrument or a loud noise in the room, and it'll cause the strings of a piano to begin to vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got around Sister Gwen, it was like something inside of me was vibrating, like, this is what I've been looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God was pulling you in. That vibration is caused by the Holy Spirit. Say, pay attention.
Exactly.
I've got something for you here. I love vibration when I'm sitting in church and I get all vibrating, and I'm trying to protect my toes because I'm getting stomped on. Aren't those good days? Because that's when you get better.
Yeah.
That's how we grow. So what do you, tell me about a show you have coming up that our audience might really want to come over and check out, Global Outpouring.
So the last three episodes have been, actually the last, I don't know, 11, 12 episodes, we've been doing a deep dig in the book of Ephesians. It is so meaty. There's so much, all these mysteries that Paul is opening up to us, and things that have been hidden as mysteries, not hidden from us, but hidden for us, for us to find. And that's what the Word is full of. And the last a couple of episodes ago, we had our pastor, Justin Goff was with us and unpacking some of Ephesians 6 verses 10, 11, and 12, where it's talking about, now this is the most important thing. The most important thing. I've saved this for the last. All these wonderful meaty things that we've had up until now, says Paul. I'm saving this most important thing for the last. And it's all about recognizing who our enemy is, and that's who we're wrestling with, and how we have this inherent power from the Lord. It's in us. It's in us. His power is explosive, and it's inside of us. And then we suit up with the armor that is him. So that's in part three, which is probably due this week, where the armor is putting on Christ. Every single piece of the armor is Jesus. So we're putting on Christ so that we have this impenetrable armor. So we don't have any reason to fear being in contact with the devil, because we have the super conqueror. I mean, we have the conqueror in us, and that makes us super conquerors, because we are dressed in him. He is in us. And so that prepares us for prayer.
Well, you know, I've always loved the book of Ephesians because it's so Paul. The first, three chapters are all about like Romans, you know, that's deep with theology and deep thought. And then he gets real practical for those next three chapters and really lays out. And I studied as a pastor, you know, I pastored 10 years, and I took about 18 months to teach the book of Ephesians.
Wow.
And so I was studying everything. And I got my hands on a 2-volume set by Dean Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was in 25 years in the Westminster Chapel.
Wow.
And I haven't studied under anyone like him. And he's well known. All theologians will know him and have studied him. But he had a way of preaching that he just was so no nonsense that, he helped me to learn that a charismatic preacher or name a denomination, I try not to name any, but whoever walks into a pulpit better walk in there to know the word and divide the word properly, as opposed to seeing how much entertaining he can do. Just come in there and bring it. And I've read almost all the sermons. In fact, every sermon that was in print, I think I still have on my computer.
Wow.
That he put out so that we could get it. I think it was his daughter that put most of his sermons up. But at any rate, I never read a sermon from him that talked about anything other than the Word of God. He just got into it and preached it from there. Was not a social pastor. You know, he just said, here's the word, now go live it. He was just no nonsense. So I love the book of Ephesians. I don't read a verse in there without hearing D. Martin Lloyd-Jones get after it, because he could do it.
That's tremendous.
Yes, ma'am. I just was telling that story because I like him so much, and any chance I get to say his name makes me happy.
Good.
So tell me what else we might expect, because I want to get to know you just before we end this podcast, because we're running out of time. Just another thing that would help us to know how you two minister, or give us some more light on, because people are going to want to come hear you after this podcast. They hear about you. They'll want to come listen. Tell us a little more about how your faith has been formed, your experiences. Like, for example, tell us about the fire in your business and how you came through that and how the miracle associated with that fire.
Wow. Wow. That was a pretty devastating event. It happened
totally unexpected. We never dreamed it would happen to us.
Well, of course. Who does?
No. Yeah. It happens to other people.
Maybe an arsonist that thinks about it.
You just never know.
You never know. How did it happen? And tell me the story.
Well, we were having our International School of Ministry was in session at the time. And I was working late that night. At the time, I was in charge of the accounting department, as well as, leading worship for the school and being in the classes as much as possible. And
typical pastor, doing everything.
Stretching. Yeah. And so I was working late that night, and I had gone over to Sister Gwen's house to share with her some information. And the next thing we hear, somebody's screaming, fire, fire.
Wait, there's something missing here. I know your story better than you do.
Oh, okay.
Your daughter.
Oh, yes, that's true.
That's kind of an important thing.
That was, and I knew that that was an important thing to share. So our daughter was, she was not quite 3 years old. And that evening, you know, her grandma and grandpa, Philip's parents, lived just on the other side of the mountain from us. And that night she said, Mommy, I want to go spend the night with grandma. And, you know, that had never happened before.
Wow.
Like, why do you want to go spend the night with, okay. She was adamant. And
That's unusual for a three-year-old to.
Oh yeah. Cause you know, she usually wanted to be with mommy and dad, of course. It's just the way it was. But so she was so adamant about it, and I thought, okay, let her go. So she went home with grandma and grandpa. And then this happened with the fire. And the fact that she wanted to go to grandma's house left me free to be able to do all kinds of other things that needed to be done to get, we wound up taking everybody out of the valley because we're in a valley. And the fire had started burning underneath the propane tank. So we're thinking, explosion. Is this going to be an explosion? We better evacuate everybody.
Mm-hmm. And it was November 17th, so it was dry. I mean, all the leaves are off the tree, and fortunate there wasn't any wind that night.
Yeah.
But everything was contained in our building, our print shop. We had just invested heavily into Super VHS. That was the next technology coming up for the school. And we had just unloaded a third of a semi of paper because we did our own printing. We did everything but Perfect Bind. And it was just like everything went up in smoke. It probably took a day, you know, burnt down overnight, but
it smoldered for days.
It smoldered. And it's just like Sister Gwen was just celebrating her 40th, was her 40th or
50th?
50th year in ministry. And she was thinking of taking the sabbatical.
Yeah.
But all the original manuscripts, everything was in one building.
Yeah, it was our bookstore, our printing, our warehouse, our offices,
all the
our
tape
school,
duplicating under
everything.
There. And fortunately, somebody broke into the, to get out our files because the fire started on the other end of the building.
Yes.
And got our mailing list out.
Yeah.
Which was a big thing. And
got our backups for the accounting department.
Yeah, it just totally changed everything. I think we had intern students. We had people, they come in from Switzerland, from France. And, I'd drive a van to the airport to Little Rock, 2.5 hours away, and go get them, then go back, get another load. And sometimes we'd have 3 or 4 vans full of people that just came from everywhere. And all of a sudden it was all over.
Yeah.
In one night.
Everything stopped.
So what did you all learn from this? I know you worshiped. I remember reading something about how you were able to deal with it almost immediately. Tell me how you experienced that in the present moment. Instead of wringing your hands and wondering what was going to happen, you had a pretty good spiritual response.
You know, our pastor came that night. Philip and I had been attending his church. This was the Jasper United Methodist Church. And he was just such a good pastor. And he came. We had taken Sister Gwen and a load of people up to Philip's parents' house. And, of course, our daughter was there, and I was so happy to see her safe and not have to be worried about her. And our pastor came there, and he led us in singing. Do you remember what song that was, Philip?
I don't remember this song.
I remember you were worshiping. I read that in your book, and it stuck with me.
He led us in an important song about, how the Lord's in control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we just continued to worship. And the next day, after this happened, and Sister Gwen was just sitting in her living room. Thankfully, nothing exploded, and we were all able to come back to our homes, and it didn't go beyond just that one building. The next day, we went over to Sister Gwen's house with our daughter, and she was sitting in the corner in a chair in the living room, and our little daughter went up to her and sang, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war." It was so amazing how just the Holy Spirit speaking through a little child encouraged this general. Sister Gwen was a general in the body of Christ. And and just to give her that little, that, you know, nobody else could have said that to her and had it mean as much as just an innocent child.
Yes, ma'am.
And so that's how we moved forward. Sister Gwen was going to be having a sabbatical anyway. So she just said, okay, we're shutting down. There's not much we can do. Everybody go home, and we'll just keep a minimum of staff. And we put one foot in front of the other for a while.
Come on. So what did you learn? What today, as you look back on that, if you had to write in your journal, today I remember the fire. And I remember what I learned in that moment. And you're going to write it today. What would you write?
Three words.
Come on.
God is faithful.
God is faithful.
He is faithful. Look, I mean, he spoke to our daughter, a three-year-old.
And she had a mother that listened to the three-year-old. Because sometimes they have that commanding voice. Because it would have been really easy for mom to say, oh, no, we'll do that when you're five. You know, three is too long, a little bit too young to go do that. Can't you hear yourself saying that on a normal night?
Yeah, I may have actually said that, and she cried and grabbed onto Grandma. I want to go to Grandma's, you know. But it's a huge thing.
Sure it is.
But it's only just one thing.
That's
every step of the way we've seen God faithful.
Yes.
And, you know, there was even a period of, I don't know how many days that we just kind of went on a Daniel fast.
Just fruit, vegetables.
And Sister Gwen refused to open the mail for that many days.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we broke the fast and she started opening the mail, the very first envelope that she opened was a foreign envelope. You know, those flimsy little airmail envelopes.
Yeah, they looked different back then.
Yeah. She loved the nation. So she opened this one. I think it was from Singapore.
Hmm.
And this lady said, "You don't know me, but you came into my," she was living in England by then, "but you came into my home when we were living in Singapore. You ministered in my home, but I was in the kitchen. And I only got in on part of what you had to say, but you so impacted my life. And we have just sold our house and we want to send you the tithes."
Oh, amen.
And here was a great big check. Like, okay, Sister Gwen, it's time to get back in business. She didn't know that we'd had a fire. But here's the faithfulness of God, the provision, seeing ahead of what we were going to need and providing for it.
Yeah. Amen. You know, I had a morning devotion. It just, I'm going to hope I get this right. But I'm reading a book by Mark Batterson. It's his new book on Win the Day, I think that's the title. And Charles Spurgeon was quoted in it. He quoted him and it said, "I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages."
Mm.
You two were thrown up against the big wave and you fell right into Jesus. And then Mark writes this line in response to Spurgeon's quote. Here's the quote again. "I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages." And then Mark wrote, "What have you come to teach me, dear wave? What have you come to teach me today?" Because God's answer to waves is peace, be still. And it sounds to me like you two really understood what it meant to be still right in the midst of a tormenting wave of what now? Where are we going next? What are we going to do? And Jesus just said to the wave and to the fire, "Peace, be still." Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
God gave me that this morning just because of this interview, I guess. I loved it. It really meant a lot to me because we all have waves and they just keep coming. So give us your life verse and we're going to call it the end of the show. What do you walk around, for both of you, if you could, give me a life verse or a verse you go to, good days, bad days, whatever's going on. What do you share?
I would say Romans 8:28. And we know. I love that part. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are the called according to his purpose.
And mine was, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And that's just keeping our mind on the Lord, and our whole being, you know, is our focus. Because if we focus on him, all the gravitational distractions, you know, we're like magnets, you know, and all of these things get all thrown on you like gravity. And when we can just keep our mind stayed on the Lord, all the other stuff can just demagnetize.
That's right.
So once again, the name of the show, and we really strongly recommend you go listen to it. I think you'll love Sharon and Philip Buss. The name of the show is Global Outpouring. And I'm so thankful to both Sharon and Philip for joining us today. I love this ministry. I love Global Outpouring and just their spirit, who they are. You can tell it's just the real deal. They walk what they talk. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my competent producer, Adley, we want to say to all of you, Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Whatever comes your way, peace be still. God bless you all.